Welcome. Trying to get the microphone on. As we get going here. And hopefully the microphone on. But if not, I can talk loud, so it's okay. Did you hear me yet out there?
No.
No, not yet?
No.
Well, it is a morning of I'm just kind of going with the flow. I spent 45 minutes parked on the street waiting for racers to run by this morning. So it is a flexible morning. So let's all be flexible today together and just see what God is. And see what God has a word for us today. So let us pray. God, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship together. Lord, I pray a blessing over those who are running, and just that you would just keep them safe. And then, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today, that you would use your Holy Spirit to come into this place and use the words to touch people's hearts today, that they will not be changed. I mean, that they will be changed as they go from here. Lord, we pray for these in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So if we continue on in Ephesians chapter 5, for those of you who have your Bibles with us today, we'll start in verse 15. And I'm just going to read it, and I really want us to really go deep in this passage, because there's a lot of good things here that we need to really talk about. The words are really plain, straightforward words, but I think there's a lot of meaning that we could get from going deeper into this. So, verse 15. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard from Martin about walking in the light. So today we're going to be learning about walking in wisdom, the importance of that. So I'm going to be careful then how you live. How are we to be careful in how we live? Be careful then in how you live at home. Be careful then how you live at work. Be careful then how you live at church. Be careful then how you live in your neighborhood. Those are very powerful statements that God is calling us and telling us here that we have to be careful how we live. That's an important thing. Paul is continuously writing here in Ephesians about how we are to live. How we are to live out our calling in our lives. Walking in wisdom is letting your light shine in the darkness. What we learned last week is that the light is more powerful than the darkness. And so we must be careful then how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. To walk in wisdom is to walk in the light, which is the goodness that we get and we receive from the Holy Spirit. We should be letting the Holy Spirit direct our lives in everything that we do. That's what walking in wisdom is about. So, whether or not we know that we're walking in wisdom, how can we see that? How can we touch that? How can we tangibly understand how we are living? I think that it's by what we do and what we say and how we act. If I'm standing up here and I say, I am a Christian and I believe in Jesus as the Son of God, but if my life is not changed, I'm still walking in foolishness. I am still walking in darkness because I have not let that claim affect who I am. I have not let my words affect my actions. That's what we need to be doing in walking in wisdom. And it continues on, making the most of our time because the days are evil. I think it's very interesting that the author Paul writes this because if you know about the church in Ephesus at this time, they were a very small community living in a very big city, and all these pressures, worldly influences are coming down upon them. We heard from Martin that the people were living in the shadow of this temple and the center of religious activity, but this was not how we should live as Christians. This was how the Gentiles lived at that time, and how we learned that they practice sexual immorality and debauchery and all these things. And that's what they lived in. And it's telling us here to make the most of our time. That is a message for us today too, because we still are living in a society where these pressures are coming in upon us. Specifically here, maybe in your own community, but throughout the world, we are living in a world with outside pressures coming in on us, trying to attack us, trying to tempt us, trying to distract us. And so Paul is, this is a good reminder for us today to walk in that wisdom because the days are evil. And we are to make the most of our time. It's important to make the best use of our time that has been given to us. There is still hatred. There's still fear. There's still greed. There's still lust. There's still war. There's still all these things in the world today, just like there were when Paul wrote this. We have a responsibility to make the best of our time. And it says, so do not be foolish. Paul here is making a distinction of the wise and the foolish. Being foolish is according to the author here, is the opposite of wisdom. So how can we understand that we are to be wise and not to be foolish? We've already spoken to this morning about the temptations and the fears and the struggles that we have every day. Paul's giving us encouragement that no, we should not give in to those things, because that would be foolish. That's the foolishness that he's speaking about, is when we give in to the outside pressures, the forces that seek to destroy our lives. or we let them destroy our lives. That's easy. I mean, we all have our struggles, our temptations. And it would be very easy for me just to go out here and say, I'm done. I'm going to submit to the temptations of the world. But that's foolishness. Because that is not what God wants for me. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to walk in wisdom, making the most of our time and not being foolish. And finding out what the will of the Lord is. We heard it last week in verse 10, and again repeats itself in verse 17. We have to find out what the will of the Lord is. So what's the will of the Lord? That's the question of the day, I think. What is the will of the Lord? What's God's will for us? Us as a group, us as families, us as individuals. This is maybe not like a raise your hand and tell me kind of question. This is a thinking question. For you individually, as a family, as a church, what is God's will for us today? I challenge you to think about that. I challenge us as a group to think about what is God's will for us. And I pray that. So, some of you might be thinking, well, I have nowhere to start. I have no idea how to start to know what is the will of the Lord. We know a little bit already. It's written down in Scripture. Just read, I mean, go to Jesus and see what he says and what he does. I mean, that is a perfect example of knowing what the will of God is. Because Jesus is our example on earth. So we see how he teaches, how he preaches, how he heals, how he cares for people. Are we mimicking that? I mean, we've learned throughout Ephesians about what the right way of doing things are. And I think, again, it's repeated here saying we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. That's a powerful statement in itself. Because God is God. Like, when I think of that, I'm like, how can I understand what is the will of God? How can I begin to even claim that I know anything about what the will of God is? But I do, because I have the Holy Spirit with me. We have the Holy Spirit with us to guide us. To give us that wisdom that we are seeking. That's powerful. I want you to understand how powerful that is, that we have that tool. That as we read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit comes into us and interprets it for us and helps us understand what God wants for our lives. That's powerful. Hold on to that. If you don't hear anything else of what I say this morning, hear that. I hope you hear a little bit more than what I say. But hear that. Because that is an amazing thing that we have. We have the Holy Spirit. So throughout Scripture, we see those examples of what Jesus is doing. do those. That is the will of the Lord. Now, it says here, continues on, do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This is growing up in these small churches, that little country churches that I went to. There was a saying, you know, I'm not getting drunk on wine, I'm getting drunk on the Spirit. And because it brings to mind of you being filled with the Spirit. You're not being filled with wine, but you're being filled with the Spirit. When you drink wine or any kind of alcohol, it fills you up and it causes a change in your actions and the way you think. The same should be when happening when we are filled with the Spirit. It should fill us up overflowing, and it should change the way we think. It should change the way we act. That's a powerful statement there. So how do we do that? How can we practically have the Holy Spirit fill us? I think Paul gives you an answer, coming on in verse 19. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves. Singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. We sing to God. We sing praises. We just did. We begin our worship time exalting God in our hearts. And I think that is a key term and a word that we should understand, because it is in our hearts that we worship God. I mean, we can worship with our voices. And you're probably glad that I'm not leading the voices, because I cannot sing very well at all. But because I'm doing it in my heart, God knows my heart, and God hears my heart. And to God, it's a sweet melody.
Amen.
That is our melody to God, is what we say with our heart. And how do we do that? How does that look? What does that look like? I think it's important to understand that when it talks about our heart, it talks about a constant thing. Our heart's always there. I mean, if my heart is gone, I die. Literally, I will die without my heart. And I think that is a wonderful example of how important it is to be constantly singing praises in everything that we do. Is that easy? Is it easy to go to work, answer all of those emails and papers and invoices, receipts, or do all the things I have to do, have the meetings? That's hard to do, praising God in my heart. Because I don't want to do that. I was thinking, talking to Alicia right now, earlier, that I don't want to do this one thing. God, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I'm just not good. And it's just, it hurts my mind to do these things. But I can praise God through it, because God is in my heart, and I should be praising God in everything that I do. So when I do go to the office or have a meeting, or I have a bunch of paperwork that I have to do. I can do that and praise God in that. That is the sweet melody, the hymns and the songs of my heart praising God. That everything that we do is to glorify God's name. My grandfather, when he would pray, he would say, "Let everything that I do be the glory of God. Amen." That's how he would pray. And over time, we knew, and so we could repeat the last part of his prayer, like verbatim. But it became so ingrained in us that we began to think about it, and I did it, that is part of how he lived. So that everything he did was to glorify God. So now that makes us think, what am I doing? Is what I do, would God find glory in what I am doing? Hopefully, yes. It really makes us think about what we do, our actions. You know, sure, coming to church, God can find glory in that. That's easy, no problem. Singing songs, reading scripture, yeah, God can find glory in that. But it's the other things. Our temptations that we give into. The pressures that come upon us from God, I mean not from God, from the world. And we give in to them. Can God find glory in that? Am I glorifying God with my heart when when I go out and party? Or that's an example I throw to, because in college that's what I would do. I would go out and party and hang out with my friends. Which in itself, hanging out with friends is not bad. But when I replace God with getting drunk, that's the problem. I was getting drunk on wine. But now, I'm getting drunk on the Spirit. So how you interact with people, how you go out these doors, you go into your cars, you go home, you go to work, you go to your neighbors, you go to your family, how you interact with them, can God get glory from that? It's easy. I remember very much last year, this very Sunday, the Marathon Sunday, Alicia was in the States. I was here by myself. I didn't know the marathon was going. So I was like, all right, I'll get up at normal time and drive and come to church. I couldn't make it. I got here probably at maybe this time, in the middle of the sermon. And I was mad. I was so mad. Because I drove through all these little side streets, and every side I came to a main street, there's a policeman. I said, "Nope, can't go this way. Can't go that way." So I turn around and go another way. I drove through parking lots and through like alleys and over dirt roads, and finally getting here. And I was so angry. I don't know why. It's just like God did not get glory of my attitude that day. And then today, I knew it was Marathon Sunday. And I was like, we have to get up early and we have to go a different way. Because they'll have this street right out here blocked. So, okay. So I decide to go, and we get stuck for 45 minutes waiting for a group of runners to go by. I probably should have did more research and find the route that they ran so I could get here better, but I didn't. But when I sat there and stopped, I was thinking, I could be upset about this, or I could praise God that that I could sit with my wife and my son in the car for 45 minutes and just talk and have an opportunity. Sure, I got here literally as the first song was about to start this morning, but it's okay. We're in Macedonia, let it roll. But that's a change in my attitude. It's a change in my actions. It's a change in my heart. To be filled with the Spirit. And all of these things, verse 20, giving thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything that we do, give thanks. Every breath. There's a song, it's a praise song that I grew up in high school singing. Every breath I take in you. That is our song today. That is what Paul is telling us, is that every breath that I breathe, I will breathe in Jesus, giving thanks to God. So as we go from here, remember, every breath that we take because God gave it to us. Gave it to us. So every breath we take, we should be praising God for it. So as we go from here, let us remember these things. Remember to be wise and not foolish. To make the best of our time. That includes the best of our relationships to the people we meet, our acquaintances. Random going to the store and buying groceries trips. Make the best of that time. Living every breath that we take for God and give thanks for God. In the name of Jesus, give thanks. Let us pray. God, we come to you asking for these things. The very breath that we breathe, we ask that we give thanks for that. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for our abilities. We thank you for the time that you've given us. Lord, help us to make the most of it. Praising you with our hearts. Praising you with our very breath. And we give thanks to you. Oh God, we thank you so much. In your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ's name. Thank you. Amen.
Please, let's stand so we can offer more praise and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Love nature and I.